greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. It's that time, Jeffy. It's that time as we sit here. Live on a Thursday night, living the dream in quarantine. Jeffy, good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm awesome, brother. I'm awesome. I'm really excited to be on tonight, man. I miss you.
It's been a busy week.
The world.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of time to do pop-up shows this week. It's been a little bit crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, homeschooling and the family responsibilities are, I think, abound for everyone. And, you know, we're all home trying to do things, and we're all in each other's space, and there's... You know, it's a lot to ask of anyone, and you know, now here in New York, we just we're going to be on it for till May 15th, and I suspect probably a little bit longer. So, you know, like I said, I'm just excited to talk to you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Excited to talk to you and spend a little time here tonight on the program. I think we're going to all be on a little bit longer too. I thought it was already May 15th for you guys, but maybe it wasn't. I know that they announced that here in Connecticut, that basically Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey are going to be all on the same page. Moving forward with all this nonsense, which I think is a good thing, man. I think everybody should work together.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I mean, it can't be a bad thing to have everybody on the same page and more smart people working on it, you know?
Well, that's what it is. I mean, I think it's really smart that all these governors are trying to get together and, you know, make sure the states are communicating. I think that's one of the most important things in any crisis is communication, because there's so much information out there, and there's so much crazy information that, you know, states need to make sure that they all have their story straight with each other and their numbers right, and they're communicating the right stuff, and also letting people travel, you know, the right way. You know, like if it's crazy here in New York, like how many people from New York should be allowed to go anywhere else, and, you know, vice versa, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's super wise that they're all talking. It made me really happy seeing that conference earlier this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we don't have to get into the whole presidential thing, because that's just a hoot to watch, but more about watching what's going on.
TV, right? I mean,
yeah, it's funny.
The President of the United States would be so entertaining.
Oh, my God.
And scary and sad. It's like a melodrama tragedy comedy.
Dude, I can't get enough of it. I literally get giddy watching, just waiting to see what dumb shit he's going to say next. I mean, I'm not political. You guys know that. I have no political affiliations. I just like whoever's the best person for the job. That's who I like. But I said from the get-go, this shit was going to be entertaining, and boy, he has not let us down on the entertainment factor.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's on fire when it comes to that. I'm telling you, some of the stuff he's doing lately is.
Well, he's the king. You know, he has all power. He's the king.
Dude, he's the gatekeeper. I don't know, man. I love the guy for a lot of the things he does, and then I dislike some of the other things he does. But I feel like that with every single president we've ever had. So it's like, I don't know if he's any different than any other president that I've loved and hated at the same time for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking human. Well, just like I'm sure everyone is. You know, it's like...
I mean, listen, here's the thing. What I love, though, just going back to what we're talking about, just having the smart people kind of working together, I think that's key. That's so important. I love to see it happening. And tonight, you know, hey, listen, our guest tonight is one of my favorite people in the state. And honestly, maybe we should have him working on it. He's definitely one of the smart people that I know. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Much smarter than me and you if he's handling... what he handles at the zoo.
That's right.
And, I mean, just having the brief conversation I had with him earlier, he's definitely a good brother, and I'm super excited to talk to him.
That's right. In a little bit, we're going to be joined by our friend Jim Knox. He's the education curator of the Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo. Really amazing, nice guy. We're going to talk a lot with Jim, because I think there's been a lot of animal questions coming up with this whole pandemic and, you know, some other things. Like, here's my thought, Jeff. We always talk food on this program. I mean, We've never talked about feeding animals. Like, that's kind of an interesting take on food, isn't it?
Absolutely. Let's mix it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Should be a lot of fun, man. So anyway, thank you guys for joining us tonight here on Plum Love Food. A lot of fun going on here in quarantine. I think people are getting used to it now, Jeffy. People are feeling a little more, I don't want to say normal, but used to it. I feel very lucky to be where I'm at my house with my family. And, you know, everything's good. We have plenty of food. We're spending a lot of time together. Probably too much time, but we're together. And, you know, I know a lot of people have it a lot worse than we do. So, you know, one of the things I've been pushing really hard on people, man, is count your blessings. You know, listen. Yeah, be thankful for what you got. You know, try to take advantage of the time the best way you can. And, you know, remember, a lot of people lost a lot of work here. I lost a shit ton of work, and people lost work, and people are doing doing so well.
People are losing a lot more than work, man. There's people out there who, like, with people, loved ones that are dying and fighting for their lives, and vice versa. And you know, in New York City, there's a lot of people still passing away every day. I mean, the numbers have plateaued. But they plateaued at, like, a crazy number.
It's a lot.
You know, so it's
a lot. But, you know, try to take time throughout the day to realize what you do have, what you can be thankful for. Because, you know, listen, this is not the new normal. We will be out of this. We will come through this. We'll be back to normal again, or whatever the normal is going to be. But it will be different than what it is now.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be fine. I think, you know, listen, from all the people we've talked to, Jeff, on this program, I'm convinced we're going to have a summer. Things are going to be okay. It's going to be a little different, but we'll have a summer.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
So much that I miss the Hamptons, Jeffy, that I'm actually drinking a bottle of Wolfer Estate Rosé Summer in a Bottle right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm having a little bourbon and a coffee.
Right. Well, I wanted to play you guys a little bit here before we hit the commercial break. I've been hanging out with a friend of this show, Anna Zapp, on their show on Star 99.9 and on Walk 97.5 out in Long Island in New York City, doing a fun bit with them called Home Chef Idol, Jeffy, where it's been people, because everybody on social media now is posting their food pictures as if they're chefs. It's hysterical. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I find inspiration on Instagram from all sorts of places, and a lot of the chefs and the pictures that I end up following and really loving and getting inspired by, I come to find out they're not chefs at all. They're like, you know,
Dave Shirotsky, our good brother.
Yeah, exactly, good brother Dave Shirotsky. You know, shout out Dave.
Yeah.
He's inspiring right there. It's like, and you know, he's not a chef at all. He's like a businessman. And he likes to do, like, you know, Ironman marathons and talk to porn stars.
I just love how you said Ironman and businessman. Like, you just...
Ironman and businessman.
He's an Ironman and a businessman.
Is that how it came out?
Well, so on Home Chef Idol, if you guys want to submit any pictures, you definitely can. I told her that chefs are going to submit, and it's already been happening. But you just want to take a picture and email it to Anna at annaandraven.com. Just send that message over to her and she'll get the picture on there. And they're picking which pictures we're choosing. But, I mean, Jeff, they've gotten, like, hundreds of photos in. She couldn't believe it.
Dude, I can't imagine. And I'm sure...
It was supposed to be 1 week. We're doing it 2 weeks now.
What?
It was supposed to be for 1 week. We're doing it for 2 weeks now.
That's amazing.
And listen, it's not a big deal. It's something fun. Like, I play the whole Simon Cowell character just for fun. And literally what we do on that nonsense is we can't taste the food, but we rate the food and we American Idol the food. It's just it's hysterical, it's fun, and basically every dish that gets picked to be mentioned on the air is going to get something from one of our kitchens just for fun. We're going to ship them something from one of our kitchens, and then each week we're going to have a winner who's going to win $100 Target gift card, which not a big prize, that's a nice prize. You can use it digitally.
A $100 gift card?
Yeah.
For an Instagram post?
Yeah, to Target.
That's sick.
It's not bad, right?
What are you talking about? There's a bunch of shit I could buy for $100 from Target right now.
There it is.
Toilet paper is one of them.
That's terrible news, Jeffy. Listen, I want to play the bit from today for you guys so you can hear it, man. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, check it out. Here we go. This is Anna and Raven today, me on the program doing Home Chef Idol with Anna and Raven on Star 99.9 and Walk 97.5. Right here, check this out.
cook idol. It's Anna and Raven. Joining us from the Food Network, it's Chef Plum. We asked you to submit your dishes. We can't taste them, we can't smell them, but we can see them. And that's what we're judging you on.
Yeah, we can also ridicule them. And that's what we're good at.
Or say that they're beautiful and look delicious.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too.
So if you would like to submit your dish, you can head to annaonraven.com. We got all the info there. Today's submission comes from Christy. Christy sent to us, Plum, a chicken enchilada pie. And if you'd like to see any of these, you can go on any of our social media and check them out for yourself. Search Anna and Raven.
I mean, honestly, the amount of submissions that have come through is incredible. People are doing a lot of cooking at home right now.
I mean, what else are they going to do? Of course they are. You keep going to the grocery store to buy stuff. You got to use the food.
A lot of eating.
This is a shredded chicken, Spanish rice, corn and flour tortillas. And if I can describe it for you, it looks like she made a bread bowl out of the tortillas and then stuffed it with everything else.
Yeah, I love this. My wife actually makes something similar, but I will say this. That amount of sour cream will make anything taste good. So the actual merits of the dish itself, I'm not really sure about. I bet you it is tasty, though, but that amount of sour cream could literally kill you.
The dish itself looks delicious. Who doesn't like shredded chicken? I'm sure if it's braised the proper way, you know, Anna, you know what braising means in all your cooking experience, right? If it's braised the proper way, the chicken's going to have great flavor, nice and moist, take on some of those delicious flavors like cumin and chili powder and all that. And it looks fantastic.
Last night when I was braising something, I thought to myself, gosh, I wonder if other people braise as well as I braise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also wondering if when Chef Plum braised, he also used seasoning to braise.
I mean, it's funny. It's like you guys were in the room with me.
Right. You were also braising?
Oh, of course I was.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you think I was doing?
Well, it's a Tuesday night. Of course we're braising. It's a Wednesday night. It's a Monday night. We braise every night.
Oh, okay.
Every night. Well, this dish right now, when I look at it, I see what I'm trying to comprehend is the tortillas. It's literally folded up like a bowl. And then taken out of whatever container and then set on the table family style. Her plate up on this dish, it's cut like a pie, a very large slice of pie. It starts to fall apart on the plate. And like you said, Raven, the sour cream to, I'm going to call it a quesadilla, but to the enchilada ratio is definitely a little bit off here.
Oh, it's very high.
Yeah, the plate up, I'm not so sure about. However, the dish itself, I would like to taste this dish. I'll bet it's delicious.
It is delicious. My wife has made this without the turned up tortilla on the edges.
This looks like actually something that I would purchase at Costco in the pre-made section.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would put it in the oven because they have chicken enchiladas that look a lot like this, except they don't come in pie shape. They come in enchilada shape.
Okay.
I never thought that there was anything wrong with the enchilada shape, that rectangular tubular that, you know?
No, never, never, ever. Ever go rectangular when you can go circular.
And you should never use the word tubular when talking about food.
Right.
What are we doing?
That's
the worst word ever.
Well, I mean, I think this looks yummy. It looks like a shredded chicken Mexican pizza. Yep.
Like a shepherd's pie from Mexico. It's
like
a shepherd's pie that came from Mexico.
It looks like I braised it myself, to be honest. It looks like that's what it looks
like.
All right,
let's vote it up and down. What do you say, Anna Zapp?
I say this is going to Hollywood.
Woo, boy. I've eaten it myself. It's also going to Hollywood with me.
You know, I think I'm going to agree with you guys. It looks delicious. It's not the prettiest of plates, but hey, let me tell you something right now. Neil Young's not the prettiest either, but he's got some hits. This goes to Hollywood.
That's true. It's absolutely true. I hope Christy survives long enough to know that her dishes made it to move forward, because that amount of sour cream, she may have already passed.
Ooh.
If you want to submit your dish for Home Cook Idol and possibly win a $100 gift card to Target every week, we'll be picking another winner to get that. You can send yours to annaandraven.com.
Well, Jeffy, that's been my mornings here in quarantine. That's what I'm doing.
I wonder why you don't talk to me. You're having so much fun.
It's kind of fun, right?
Oh, that's great, man. I love those guys. Anna and Raven, hilarious. I had so much fun hanging out with Raven when we did Elite Chef.
Doing local radio, but still making it fun. I give them a lot of credit for them. I love those guys. They're doing great, and they're killing it, and now they're syndicated. Just congratulations to them. And listen, we're doing this every day for the entire week next week. And so submit your pictures. Go to just email it to Anna@annaandraven.com. Check it out right there. Jeffy, when we get back, we're going to be joined by one of the coolest people in the world, man. He's got one of the coolest jobs ever. We're going to be joined by our good brother, curator for the for education at the Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo, Jim Knox. So stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinsui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word is not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. Jackfruit, Jeffy. It's honestly the best vegan food I've ever had.
No doubt. We learned all about it on our trip in Mexico this year.
Hey, it's Chef Plum and Chef Jeff from Plum Love Foods Live talking Upton's Naturals.
Upton's Naturals is an independently owned natural foods company with a focus on meat alternatives and vegan values since opening in 2006.
Hey, that's right. Now Upton's has launched the first-to-market seasoned, ready-to-eat jackfruit in the whole United States.
With great flavors like Thai curry, original, sweet and smoky, sriracha, chili lime, barbecue. Man, I am getting hungry.
Well, you haven't eaten in 12 minutes, so that makes sense. Try it, man. This stuff is great. Amazing tacos, sandwiches, you name it.
I'm still hungry.
Yeah, me too now.
Upton Naturals, available now on Amazon.com, ThriveMarket.com, RabbitFood.com, and more.
And of course, check out UptonsNaturals.com. Let's get some tacos.
I love tacos.
Me too. Plum Love Foods, right here on a Thursday, like a well-oiled machine, Jeffy, tonight, huh? It's just seamless.
Yeah, we're feeling good, man. Feeling good.
It's fantastic, man. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. Tonight, our guest is literally Jeffy. I met this gentleman, and we hit it off immediately. One of my favorite people I've met in the States in the years that I've been here. Also, one of the nicest human beings in the world. But here's the thing. It's not very often you find those two qualities in a human being, Jeffy. And then they're also super smart, and that doesn't happen very often. But that's the case right now with our guest tonight, one of the best guys here on the planet, especially here in our state of Connecticut, a super positive individual. We're joined right now by the curator of education for Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo, the one, the only, Mr. Jim Knox. Jimmy, how are you, man? Great to talk to you.
Hey, good, guys. How you doing?
Living the dream, brother. You know, doing the best we can right now with what's going on and everything. You know, it's a... It's a weird time. I never thought we'd ever live in a time like this, but here we are. It feels like a movie.
I know. Me too. Yeah, it's our day-to-day is definitely different, but there's certainly a lot going on, and you guys let me know what you want to chat about, because there's so much to talk about.
Oh, my God, there's so much to talk about. But first, man, I have to tell you, just to kind of set the table a little bit here. So when I was... Jeff, you know this. My wife worked full-time when I had my twins when they were little, and it's just about getting through the day at that point, man. You remember those days, Jeffy? It's just about getting through the day, and I found the Beardsley Zoo, and I would go there with my girls, and we would spend basically the afternoon there 4 or 5 days a week, you know, buying a membership. Well, it was just a great place to go. It was safe for the kids to run and play, and they fell in love with animals there. This is even before I knew Jim. And we would go there, and it just became like such a special place for us and for my girls. And even to this day, just now, I told them you were on tonight. By the way, they told me to tell you hello. They were like, "Oh, we love Jim. Tell them hello." And
awesome.
And I said, "We got to get back there the second we can get back there, Jimmy." That's what they wanted. They wanted to get back to the zoo, which I love.
Great, great. Yeah, my best to them, please. And that sounds great.
Absolutely. So, what's going on with you guys right now? Obviously, there's some essential personnel there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. See, unfortunately, you know, with everything going on, you know, social distancing and following CDC protocols nationwide, we're doing the safe thing, and the safe thing means closing our gates for the weeks ahead, whatever they may be, whatever these weeks ahead may be, and taking great care of the animals as always, and taking great care of each other, you know, because we gotta take care of each other to take care of the critters, you know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So one of the things, just to talk about the Beardsley Zoo a little bit, one of the things that I love about the zoo is a lot of the animals there, they wouldn't be able to live in the wild, right?
You're right. Many of our animals, for example, all of our raptors, all of our birds of prey, they're all injured in the wild. They're rescue animals. And those particular birds are non-releasable. Their injuries are to the extent that they couldn't hunt on their own, couldn't necessarily defend themselves from potential predators. So they're, they've got full medical and dental, or I should say they don't have teeth, but they would have dental if they had teeth. So we're taking great care of them. And those guys, many of them, are our animal ambassadors. And in normal times, you know, we travel, we go out to the schools all over the community, and they're also at the zoo for people to appreciate and just be in awe of. I mean, our bald eagles, over the years, just extraordinary birds.
Yeah, it's very cool what you guys do there. And there's a lot of awesome birds there, especially you said they're raptors, right?
Right. Yeah, we've got bald eagle currently. We've got owls, different species of owls, hawks, and these guys, most of them are native, or certainly native to the U.S. or native to Connecticut. Many of them. And again, you know, they do a better job of teaching about birds of prey than we could ever do. People see them, they're mesmerized, and then it opens up a conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of the things that maybe, Jeff, I don't know if you thought about it, but one of the things that you know, I didn't think about until I was reading some stuff on the zoo today, because I knew we were having Jim on the program, is you know, with everything being closed, I mean, I went and made a donation online to the zoo. It's one of the things that I don't think people are really thinking about. Like, they've lost a lot of money, and that's how these things, you know, have to function and have to have it to move forward. Even just feeding the animals, and even little things like just keeping the cages cleaned up.
Well, first of all, Plum, thanks so much for thinking of us and supporting us, especially at this time. I know you know, money's tight for everybody, but we really appreciate that. I will tell you guys that we get every dollar that we get. That when people come in and visit us, every dollar that we get through the gate stays on grounds. And it stays on grounds to take care of the animals, keep the lights on, buy the great fresh produce that we have for our animals and the fresh meat. And this is so important. And in this time of social distancing and mitigation and being safe and just doing the right thing by everybody else, what it means is you hit it on the head there, Plum. You know, our gates are closed. So we rely on the support of people like you to help us through these times. And we do have an emergency fund through the zoo on our website.
Can I mention our website? Yeah, Jeffy, the website, just so everyone knows, you can check it out, is beardsleyzoo.org. You can check it out right there. It's actually a really great website. A lot of great information about the zoo itself there. And you can also, of course, sign up to get a newsletter and get all the events, because you guys do a ton of events.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. And because we've got such a diverse public that loves the zoo, you know, from little kids to grandparents,
absolutely,
everybody in between. But I just want to say thanks again. And people want to learn how they can support us through these times, they can definitely jump on the website and beardsleyzoo.org and check out the emergency fund. And there are other ways they can help, too.
It's important. I mean, listen, the zoo is it's a great place to take kids. It's very, very kid-friendly. And, you know, even the guy, your chef over there who runs the cafe, is one of the nicest human beings on the planet, man. He's a little scary looking, but one of the nicest guys, which I think it's kind of the key thing, Jeffy, is that when you work with animals, it's really hard to not be a nice person.
I think they recognize it. I think, you know, you got to be kind of genuine with animals. I think especially ones that could squash you.
Let's talk about that for a second, because Jim, you have several of those kind of animals there.
We do. You know, even some of the smallest animals in the world can pack the biggest punches, and we've got some big animals that pack even bigger punches. So we've got to be very, very careful in working around the animals. That's for certain.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have tigers. You have some big cats too. The tigers have names. I think I used to know the names. I don't remember them now.
Yeah, we do, and our particular cats are Rika and Zaya, and they're sisters, and they're just they're a little bit over 2 years old, and nearly two and a half, and they're doing great. And yeah, for many of our animals, we do have names. Recently, we had a colony of almost about 150 brook trout. We stopped naming them after about the first three or four.
Well, that's a lot. that's a lot of trout. So, you know, Jim, there's been a lot of talk in the news about everything going on now with the coronavirus and everything, and talk about it, you know, possibly being from animals. I mean, I know it's not your area of expertise, but I mean, you've got to have heard something or have an opinion about that.
Sure, and first of all, thanks for that the platform, because I will tell you guys right up front, all your listeners out there,
yeah,
I am not a veterinarian. I'm a curator. I'm a humble curator. I'm not a veterinarian, and I'm not a virologist or an epidemiologist, but I will tell you guys what we know and what we're doing to take great care of the animals and take great care of the public as well. You know, the animals, coronaviruses are, they're prevalent in the wild. You know, there are hundreds of different coronaviruses out there that affect certain species or groups of animals, and it's very, very rare when they, what are called spillover events, when they go into affect people. And there are only seven known coronaviruses that have even moderate effect on people. And unfortunately, this, you know, what we're dealing with right now is a tragic example of that. But it's a very rare thing. And the way to protect the animals and the people, just like we're working in a hospital, PPE all the way. You know, just gowns, gloves, masks. That's what we do.
Unbelievable, man. It's just it's got to be that way, because I mean, you don't want to catch any of that stuff, you know. But I mean, they talk about this particular strain coming from, I don't know, you've heard bats, you've heard some crazy weird scaly animal in Wuhan. Have you heard that one?
Yes. Yeah, I know about those animals, and they're called pangolins, scaly anteaters.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, the coronaviruses, and this is again a large family of viruses. They some of the species that they do, we do find them in the wild, they're called reservoir species or reservoir populations, are bats, certain types of bats that are not native to the U.S., and pangolins, scaly anteaters, again, not native to the U.S., but scientists suspect that they may be, you know, they may be the points at which the virus can jump, but we really don't know. We've got to do more research to confirm this. These are suspicions, and there's a lot of research going on.
Yeah. Unbelievable, man. I mean, it's just what's crazy, I think, is the amount of information that comes out every day. Like I feel like it's just something different every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I think what's so important to do, and I know you guys are doing a great example of it now. You know, you may read a lot, but you separate the anecdote from the facts, and the facts are slower to emerge. The anecdotes and the stories and the theories crop up fast, but the facts come in later. And then they dictate the path we take. So if you're safe, you're really cautious, you know, from the start, that really helps you out when working with animals.
Absolutely. What are some of the, like, I don't know, I guess obviously the tigers and things like that are the dangerous animals, you know, out at the zoo, or maybe you don't consider them as dangerous as I would, but, you know, what are some of the animals that are pretty dangerous at the zoo that maybe people wouldn't think about?
Well, I got to tell you, I worked with tigers for years, and it's been a while, I got to tell you, but I consider them really, really dangerous, because, you know, you don't have to impress upon me how dangerous tigers can be. You know, you work with them for a while. I've got a real healthy respect for big cats, let me put it that way.
Let me just tell Jeffy really quick, Jim. I mean, Jeff, at the zoo, at Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo, uh-huh. You check out the tigers. I mean, they walk along these fences, and you're literally, I mean, Jim, what, 4 feet away from them? It's insane.
Close enough to be humbled. Let me put it that way. For me, at least.
That's a big-ass animal, dude.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to imagine. I mean, a house cat can jump, like, 8 feet in the air. I mean, I just can't imagine. Like, you know, one of those cats could probably, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
No, I mean, doubt. And I read somewhere, too. I read somewhere, too, that house cats are the only animals that kill for fun. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I've seen them do it, you know, when they bat it around and chase it and mess with it. And like,
last thing I want is a tiger batting me around just trying to chase me, because he's going to catch me. I'm fast for about 10 feet, Jim, and then he's got me after that.
Well, then, you know the secret, right? You know the old story. Then you just got the old joke. You don't have to be the fastest guy in the room. You just got to be faster than Jeff. You got to be.
That's right. I just got to be faster than you. That's all that matters.
Sorry, Jeff. I want to trip him next. Don't give them a head start.
That's right. But some of the other animals that are kind of dangerous there, I mean, you guys have snakes. You have some very poisonous frogs there as well.
We do. We have poison frogs. We sometimes call them poison dart frogs, poison arrow frogs. And those guys in human care are not normally an issue at all with their poison load, because in the wild, what they do is they eat insects, ants and beetles in particular. They eat certain sap, alkaloid sap on plants, And so the poisons concentrate in the body of the insect, the prey, and then they are sequestered or built up in the body of the frog. So that's why those frogs get so toxic in the wild.
Whoa.
Our guys, you know, they talk a good game with their colors, but they're not, you know, they're bright and they're vivid and they got the warning colors, but they're not an issue. But I would say, like, any animal like the crocodilians, you know, the caiman, the alligators, we've got very healthy respect for what they can do. We're very cautious around them. We've got protocols around working with them.
They're so unpredictable, aren't they?
Yeah, they are utterly unpredictable, and they're so fast. When they warm up, these, you know, they're reptiles, so they, you know, as their bodies warm up, they speed up with their reflexes, and oh man, we've got great respect for what they can do. So I would say those guys, and really, I mean, if you think about it, every animal in nature has a defense built right in. It's part of their behavior. It's part of their adaptive defense, you know. So they can always do something, whether it's, you know, it's a bite or a kick or a sting. They've got something that they can normally wield to protect themselves really well.
Yeah, right. Totally. I mean, it's just I don't know. Animal defenses are scary when you think about it because they're so quick to use them, and we don't really have any defense, do we?
Not so. I mean, the biggest defense we've got, no joke, is a big brain. I mean, yeah. It enables us to kind of think ahead. So oftentimes it's like, maybe I shouldn't. It's like that little voice, man. That little voice knows it all. So
right.
I try to listen up to it. Now, most of the time.
How many times in your career, you know, without making yourself look bad here, have you said, "Yeah, I made the wrong choice there. That hurt."
Yeah, I know you and I have talked about this in the past, and yeah. I always scratch my head and I say, "What can I?" You know, I got to tell you, you know, like the quickest way to gain credibility with your audience is telling the absolute truth. But sometimes the truth is kind of boring, so I'm going to try to straddle that line there. I'll tell you about one time.
You have a microphone. You're an expert. Don't worry.
I'll tell you about one time that was, I got caught by surprise, and I learned a lesson. How's that? Does that sound good enough? For
absolutely.
All right. So I was working with a bird of prey of ours, great horned owl, really beautiful bird of prey. I think you've actually met her, Plum.
Yeah.
And so what I had was we had a school group in, about 200 kids in for a program, and you know she was doing her thing, I was doing my thing. I had a thick leather gauntlet on, it's a long glove to protect my forearm, and she's on the glove, and she just stepped just one toe past the edge of the gauntlet. Now normally it's not a problem, but with a bird that's got that kind of closing power in the talon, even if she's not trying to hurt, and she wasn't trying to hurt, she's just trying to adjust her weight. Took that talon, which is about an inch and a half long, and it just went choop, right down into my forearm. And I will tell you guys that it was so much pressure that
it didn't really hurt
as much as I looked down and I said, that's gonna hurt. It didn't hurt at the time, and I'm like, oh, when that comes out, that's gonna hurt a lot. And there were about 200 kids out there and teachers, and it was just jam-packed. And I gotta tell you guys, when she adjusted her weight, I had to pretend it didn't hurt. So the award for the best supporting actor in a zoo drama, I think that day, I think I got that award.
That's you. Wow.
I was biting my lip. It hurt a lot.
So
I biting my lip and I adjusted my technique a little bit. She didn't bother. You know, she was wonderful. And you know what? Hey, sometimes you find out, and you don't want to find out the hard way.
That's because you're a soldier, Jim. You're a soldier. You're gonna scare the kids. I get it. That's awesome. I mean, listen. I gotta imagine though, when she finally got off your got off your arm, and you walked in the back, you were like, "Oh my God, that's a lot of blood."
Well, the thing is, her talon's so sharp that it didn't look that. It's just like a tiny little nothing, like a little pinprick. But thankfully, I'm married to the most patient girl in the world. She's a nurse practitioner,
and I took
one look at it and said, "What did you do today?" And I said, "Okay." And so she cleaned me up, and I was good to go. But she keeps
nice.
Me, you know. On the straight and narrow. You got to have somebody like that, you know, keep you on the straight and narrow.
Absolutely. Well, please tell her, thank her for everything she's doing now. You know, we talk about it all the time. The word front lines has a whole different meaning now.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And they are our nurses, our doctors, our PAs, our nurse practitioners, our you know, first responders, police, fire, paramedics, everybody out there in the medical community helping us. You know, they are everything to us. They're making a difference for all of us.
Well, I tell you, they all make us look bad now, Jim. That's the problem. Like, all I do is cook food and make dick jokes for a living, and you play with animals all day. They're saving lives. Who are we?
Yeah, I know. I know. I, you know, seriously, I really, I'm going to be serious for a moment. I'm in awe of my family and friends who are in the medical profession and in law enforcement. They're making it happen out there, and we've got a lot of them in our family. So my hat's off to them. And I'll tell you before we leave that topic, when
you're here.
What happened, by the way, with that owl?
Yeah.
With our gray horn? At the time, you know, we were looking, we were saying, oh, she's a pretty powerful bird, but recently a study came out that indicates that, like, for example, the average closing pressure on a human grip is about, for a strong person, a strong adult, it's maybe 75, 80 pounds of pressure, no more than 100. A study came out recently, it says the great horned owl has as much power as an eagle, up to 500 pounds per square inch.
Wow.
So I'm glad I didn't know it at the time, because if you think I'm being a whiny baby now, I would have been worse back then.
That's insane. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. Jeffy, we've been talking to Jim and getting great stories. We haven't done any plugs for him yet, man. Maybe we should throw one out there for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you want to know more about Jim, go to jimknoxspeaker.com. And, of course, the at CT Beardsley Zoo at on the Instagram. And, of course, his Instagram is going to be up shortly, which is going to be at Jim Knox Speaker.
That's right. And, of course, you can check out the BeardsleyZoo.org. If you just want to go to the website, too, you can check that out there. So, Jim, one of the things I think was so cool last time I was hanging out with you at the zoo, which I feels like was a long time ago, which is I've learned as my kids get older, time seems to just move fast. And I don't like that, but that's what's happening. But you were showing me the kitchen, which I thought was really interesting. And not like a kitchen that we think, Jeff, but a kitchen that is actually there to make food for all the animals at the zoo. That's one of the coolest places ever, Jim.
Oh yeah, no, the commissary, it is a cool place. And I know it's not lost on you guys. We in the bad old days, you know, long ago, when the zoo's, by the way, almost 100 years old. We'll be 100 years old in 2022. So we're approaching our 100th anniversary, and for many years we were working with an older kitchen. And you know how it is. You guys live in your first apartment, and you outgrow your first apartment. The zoo had kind of outgrown our old kitchen. So, with great support from the city of Bridgeport and other entities, we were able to build an updated, wonderful commissary. And this commissary now, when you think about it, we create over 200 individual diets a day.
Wow,
that's a lot. That's a high volume kitchen, right?
Wow.
So the commissary is just we've got it. You name it, we've got it. We got from crickets to mealworms to salmon to, you know, beef knuckle bones to, you know, frozen rats and mice, fresh produce. If an animal eats it, we've got it.
Unbelievable. And are there people there that work in that kitchen full time, if that's their job, that they are there to make animal food, or is it different? Each, I guess, animal handlers or group of handlers handle the food for their animal?
Well, most of the time we have different folks that work with different groups of animals that have specialty, like hoofed animals or carnivores, or some of our animal ambassadors. And those folks, generally, most days they make the diet for their crew of animals.
Yeah.
So they do have a degree of specialty, but everybody's cross-trained. So they can, they can prepare diets across the board for anybody that really needs it. And I will say, can I do a quick plug for our staff and our volunteers real quick?
Please.
Pretty please. Thank you so much. I got to tell you, I'm in awe of them. They are working tirelessly. They're so focused. Their whole, everything, their whole focus, their whole commitment is to the animals, the zoo, and all of our each other and all of our members out there. They are just soldiering on and doing great, great work. So I want to say thank you to all them. And they're a great bunch of people. I'm very proud to work with them.
And everyone's still working for the most part at the zoo, right?
Yeah, our full-time staff is on. Our full-time staff who care for the animals, they're all on. And we have some other full-time staff who are working to, keep the lights on. We have other staff whose responsibility is making sure that the plant property and equipment, all of our infrastructure is up and running, because the building's got to be maintained and the grounds have to be maintained so that when we get the word that we can open, we open up right away and without skipping a beat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait. And I know my kids can't wait. We're definitely heading over there ASAP to check it out. You can get information and find out at the ctbeardsleyzoo.org. I'm sorry, at beardsleyzoo.org. You can check it out online. And, of course, listen, if you're in the New York area, you can come check out the zoo in Bridgeport. It's way better than being in the city, man. It's more open. There's, I don't know, it's just, it's a more comfortable place. I've always liked it. And that's one of the things I can't even say it's our small little zoo anymore because you guys are pretty big.
Yeah, we are. We've grown a lot over the years. And we've got, when you count up all the smaller animals, the brook trout and the scorpions and all those guys, we've got over 500 animals and 500 mouths to feed, and that's done over 115 species. So we've got a lot of diversity. We've got a lot of sheer numbers there with all the animals. And you know, we're, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're following the to a T. We've been prepping. We prepped long before the advance of this, you know, the virus. We prepare in emergency preparedness techniques and training, and we have classroom training and so on. So our staff's been working with CDC guidelines for years, and they're a safe bunch, and they're a really well-educated bunch, and they're getting it done.
I mean, you have a great team over there, and even down to just, I mean, when you walk around the zoo, if there's somebody who works at the zoo hanging out, they're happy to talk to you and tell you whatever they know. And you know, we always get hung up hanging out with the otters, which are just so fun to watch, the two river otters, and watching them run and play and things like that. But Jim, the interesting part I thought when I learned about the river otters were, as sweet and nice as they look, maybe they're not like that so much to people.
Well, yeah, North American river otters are some of the cutest animals going, but if you ever look at the skull or the build of a river otter, they're like a torpedo-shaped body with the skull of a American Staffordshire Terrier, like a pit-type skull, very, very powerful. No, I'm serious. They're like a little, you know, a guided missile in the water, and they can actually swim down trout. They're that fast and agile.
They are fast.
And they eat their prey on the fly. You know, they grab their prey. They just eat it down the hatch. They are amazing animals, quick reflexes, intelligent, powerful, and cute.
It's so cute.
So you think you want to go pet them, but you can't.
And they smell terrible, don't they?
A large proportion of their diet is fish, and they're animals with a high metabolism. So what goes in must come out quickly. So even though we're cleaning up constantly, they're kind of, it's like a friendly competition. We clean up, and they say, "Okay, I'm going to go again." So they just, you know, that's how otters function. You know,
yeah, of course, I go right to the time. Of course I go right to the poop talk. Sorry.
Can't help it.
That's terrible. Yeah, they're awesome animals. They're fun to watch there as well. You know, you were talking about some of the big cats that are there, and you know, the tigers. Like, how often do the tigers eat, and what would we feed them?
The tigers eat most days. Every once in a while, depending on the week and the age of the animal, they'll have a fast day. You know, because in the wild they wouldn't eat necessarily every day. They'd eat bigger meals periodically, but. We give them, for most cats, are going to eat about 10 to 12 pounds of meat per day, or have that much offered to them.
About the same amount Jeffy eats.
And growing cats, yeah,
pretty close.
Jeffy's got a healthy appetite. So they're slugging down the meat. In fact, I'll tell you guys, in an average year, you know, in an average tiger year, we're going to be going through about 8,500 pounds of meat for the cat.
Wow. Are they picky? Like, do they like, I don't like flank steak. I'd like to have something else.
I'll say that, I wouldn't say they're necessarily picky, but I will tell you this. We do, our staff, our animal care specialists, these guys are really, really good. They're on their game, and they're very good trainers. And what we'll do is we'll get them to, the trainers will get them to open their mouths, present their paws, so we can do a quick visual inspection for the veterinary team. And the best way to do that is know what their favorite food treats are. Give them a little food treat. Give them the command. Although with a tiger, it's not really a command. It's more of a request. You don't want to command a tiger to do anything. That's a zoo joke. I don't get out very often. You guys got to roll with it.
Sorry. I'm with you.
You poor guys, man. You poor guys. So they'll open their mouths. We'll see their jaws. But we'll do that by giving them a favorite treat. Typically, it might be skinless chicken.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Skinless chicken. So they're health freaks. They don't want the skin because that's got too much fat content. I get it. Totally. My dog, I make dog food for my dog, Jim, and he's very picky on what I fix for him. Sometimes he doesn't like the pork. Sometimes he doesn't want beef. He's very picky.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
That is weird.
He's bougie.
But you know what's funny, guys? You want to find out what their favorite foods are so that when you need to give them vitamins or supplementation, you know, some medicine perhaps. If you have that favorite food, it's so much easier to administer. You guys know that from working with your animals.
Oh, well, listen, I know that from working with my animals a lot in 25 years, and my animals are people, and trust me, they can be very picky.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, you know better than anybody.
Oh, my God. It's a whole other world there. It's a whole other world. Jim, so I wanted to ask you, too, about some of the events, because there's some great events at the zoo that happen every year. And, you know, has this whole situation, obviously, I don't know the answer to, you know, no one knows the answer right now. But, I mean, do you see this whole pandemic directly affecting a lot of the events at the zoo moving forward into the fall and stuff?
Well, we know that it's certainly a possibility. So what we do is, you know, we meet not only weekly, but we meet throughout the week. And then we have big staff meetings at least once per week. And nowadays it's call-in, you know, it's call-in affair, you know, Zoom meeting, whatever it may be.
Right.
And we go through the, you know, we go through the different timetables, and we're looking at how Connecticut is faring and really what we hope to be able to do. And so we're constantly assessing. And we're looking at when we may be able to open up. And as soon as we can, we're going to open those gates. I will tell you guys that we've got some great events in most years, like our Wild Wine, Beer, and Food Safari.
Fun event.
And our Zoo Gala. Yeah, we love it. It's such a great event.
Those are great.
We're doing our best to look at the calendar, not toward cancellation, but toward postponement for now for many of these. But if you guys, in the coming weeks, we'll have more information. So it's constantly being discussed, and the bottom line is we're going to open when it's safe to open. And we're always looking at safety, as you guys know, and it's the only way to be. And I'm hopeful that we can get some of our events in this summer and then into the fall as well.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be fantastic, Jim. We'd love to have you come do an event with us. Jeff and I both work in the Hamptons all summer, but we have to get you out there to come do an event with us. That'd be very fun.
Oh, you don't have to twist my arm. I'm there. In fact, I'm there as soon as it's possible. I'm there.
I love it.
Love it.
So we were talking about animal diets a few minutes ago, and one of the things I wanted to ask you about, I was curious about how many different animals have maybe it's a stupid question. If it's dumb, tell me I'm dumb, because you and I are buddies. You can tell me that it's okay. But how many animals are vegetarian diets versus animals that are meat eating diets? Like, is it just like a whole different number? Like, is it a pain in the ass to make the food? How does that work?
It's a really good question, and this points to like our staff being specially trained. The animals, we have so many animals, so many different species. I mentioned over about 115 species currently, that they all eat different things. Like, no two of those diets are exactly alike. So it's really like a spectrum. You know, we've got animals that are what we call obligate carnivores. They only eat meat. And then there are animals that are strict herbivores, only plant matter. And a lot of them are in between. A lot of them are omnivorous. So we really look at what their preference is, for optimal health. And we just design the diets based on that. We consult with zoo nutritionists. We consult with our veterinary staff. I would say approximately maybe one-third. It's roughly a spectrum. Like I said, maybe one-third strict herbivore, maybe 40%, and then somewhere in the middle are the omnivorous diets, and then toward the other end of the spectrum, we've got at least 25% or so that are really pretty strict carnivores.
Man, it just seems so hard to keep track of all that stuff. And is there one person who's in charge of making sure, okay, we need to make sure we have enough meat for this, and make sure we have enough, vegetable protein for this, make sure we have enough, carrots. Like, is there one person who orders that stuff for all the animals, or is each handler or specialty zookeeper in charge of that?
We've got certain people who order different things. Like, we have certain people who order dry goods, and we have certain people who order some of our frozen meat products, for example. So because we have different vendors and we have great supply chains, we're very, very appreciative for our vendors, especially at this time.
Absolutely.
So, different people, we divide up that. It's a huge job, so we divide it up a bit.
Man, it's crazy. And now, for what you do, like, your title is Curator of Education. Like, what does that mean?
All right, thank you for that. Yeah, see, right now it means different things than it did even like 8 weeks ago. No kidding.
I'll bet.
So what it typically means is a big portion of the educator's job and my job is getting out into the schools all over Fairfield County and beyond, you know, bringing the zoo to you, so to speak, bringing the zoo on the road with our animal ambassadors, some of the raptors we talked about, rescue reptiles and other animals. In this day and age right now, we can't do that, obviously for safety reasons.
Right.
So we're still bringing the zoo to you through the virtual zoo. And what we've done is we were thankfully, our zoo board has been wonderfully supportive in helping us to invest in technology to create a distance learning initiative. So we've been filming content at the zoo for several years now. And in this content, we now have in the form of lesson plans for teachers. So teachers can email us at programming at Beardsley Zoo, and they can email us, say, hey, I need something for my fifth graders. Next generation science standard compliant. I need it. No fluff. They got to learn this. They got to get this good content in. What do you guys have? So we're filming. We've created lesson plans. We've got stuff that's also just fun that we put out there, fun videos of leopard cubs and all sorts of things. So
Yeah. If
you're a teacher out there and you're looking for content, check out the website. We've got a distance learning page on there, and we're just constantly creating new things. Virtual tours. We did a promo for Frog Watch USA. I know, Plum, you're a huge fan of Frog Watch.
I love frogs, man. Frog Watch is great. It really is. My kids are already down by the brook catching frogs right now, Jimmy. They're already catching them.
Yeah, I know. You told me they were out there. Yeah, they were out there the last few days.
I'm going to text you with the frogs they catch tomorrow. They catch them, they hang on to them for about 15 minutes, and they put them all away. They have a huge habitat they put them in, and they put them all away before they come back up.
And you know what? That's how every single one of my friends who's in this field, every keeper, every aquarist, every veterinarian, everybody, they all were like frog-catching kids, tree-climbing kids, turtle-catching kids. Catch and release, and that's how that love is, you know, grows.
Oh, it's amazing, and it's one of the things I'm just so grateful for. I love it, and you know, it's just so great to have that, and you know, to you know, make friends with you and be able to, you know, talk to you about these things. And you know, listen, Jim, Lily, one of my twins, had an encounter at one point with what we think was a mountain lion here in where I live in Newtown, and she told me the story, and I was like, I kind of thought, and she was very, very young when it happened, and then she told Jim the story, and Jim was like, ah, yeah, it might have been a mountain lion. Do you remember that?
I do, and you know, it's the whole mountain lion thing in Connecticut is a really interesting phenomenon. A lot of people, until a few years ago, said, no way, couldn't possibly be, and now we know that mountain lions have come across country more than 1,800 miles from South Dakota, from the Black Hills, all the way to Connecticut, so anything is possible.
Wow.
You know, and I'm glad she's okay, and I'm glad she had that cool experience. And you know, it's we've got wildlife under our noses most people don't even know about. We've got black bears in most towns of Connecticut, fisher, otters, eagles. I saw an osprey dive bombing an eagle the other day at the zoo.
Whoa.
About half a dozen times in Bridgeport. It's amazing.
Wow, it's just crazy to see these things. I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. And listen, Jim, let me ask you this, because Jim, you're a very Adonis-like man. You're a very manly man. When I look at you, Jim is about 6'9". Jeffy, he's about 6'9", and you know, a svelte 230 pounds. He's a well built gentleman. They make fun of me here on this program, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, they make fun of me on this program, Jim. Specifically, Jeffy makes fun of me because I can't watch dog movies because I'll cry. Jim, does that make me a bad person?
It makes you a strong, sensitive type.
There you go, that's Jeffy. Exactly. You heard that?
Hey.
Yep. I got you.
I got your back. I mean, you told me I'm an Adonis. That's going on the resume. As soon as we get off this call, I'm telling my wife that's our phone resume. I want it in writing. I want that writing, guys.
That's it. That's it right there. You got to check out the Beardsley Zoo, you guys. The Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo. Our good friend Jim is joining us tonight. It's beardsleyzoo.org. Jeffy, tell them the rest of the plugs for Jim.
Absolutely. Beardsleyzoo.org. If you're going to check out the Beardsley Zoo, go to ctbeardsleyzoo on the Instagram there. And then also jimknoxspeaker.com to learn more about Jim and what he's doing.
Absolutely. Now, Jim, before we get you out of here, man, I really appreciate your time tonight, man. I know you're a busy guy, and you got a lot going on. And by the way, those programs, I'm sorry, we got sidetracked. I want to talk about those programs you've got on that distance learning stuff. That stuff's free for teachers, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I would say the vast majority of it is free. And we have some paid programs that are more like if you're an AP science teacher, AP environmental, or AP bio, and you're looking for something that's more, you know, higher end or more focused, then we do have some programs that are paid programs, but a lot of it is free, and it's all great next generation science standard compliant. So
wow.
Again, it's what your students need, and it's fun too. So we have a blast doing it.
You know,
thank you for that option.
Oh, listen, I tell you what, because I don't know if you realize it right now, but I'm a teacher. Since schools aren't in right now, and I've become quite the science teacher and biology teacher for my kids. And as a matter of fact, Jeff, our good friend Chef Jeffy here, Jim, is a teacher too. He homeschools his kids to begin with as well, so maybe there's some stuff there that you could use, Jeffy. You should look into it.
Absolutely. My wife's always into doing fun new things. I mean, that's what I was saying before we got on air. You know, one of the hardest parts about the quarantine for us is that, you know, I mean, we're used to being home, we're used to the homeschooling part, but we're not used to being able to not get away from
each
other.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, so that's, I think, you know, the adjustment for us.
It's the hardest part, right?
Yeah. Well,
please, Jim, go ahead. Sorry, I was about to chime in and keep running my mouth. That's all I do.
Please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Well, listen, I'd be remiss before I get you out of here, and everyone is, I mean, you should see the amount of messages I've gotten already asking about the Tiger Show on Netflix. Jeffy, you want to take over here, because I still haven't seen it.
Well, absolutely, man. I mean, first of all, I've watched
the Tiger Show. I have to, Jim. Sorry. Everyone's asking me.
Yeah, Jim. Thank you. Thank you, Plum. Jim, it's been a pleasure so far to talk to you. I'm sure everyone's really enjoyed it. You're awesome. I've seen the Tiger King 3 times. I'm somewhat of an expert. I've downloaded all his music. I've later found out he didn't actually sing any of it.
What?
Just to let you guys know. A little Milli Vanilli action going on there.
Wow.
Little bit of a letdown, I know, but it's true, guys. there was a recent Tiger King recap episode that just came out, interviewing everyone but Joe, because Joe's in jail. What are your thoughts on this movie? What are your thoughts on this documentary?
Oh man, you guys, we were chatting about this at one point in the past, and there is so much in my head that's competing, you know, to come out right now, and I want to. How much time you got? You got 5 hours?
Come on, let it out.
As much time as you want, brother.
I would just say, I'll sum it all up and say, in my opinion, what I do and what we do at Connecticut Beardsley Zoo and within the AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, we're accredited. We work really, really hard for that accreditation. We have to maintain the top standards, not just decent or mid-level standards, the top standards in veterinary care, education, conservation, you name it, animal care. I'm not an expert on the show. I've seen a family member of mine said, would you please watch the show? Normally, I probably wouldn't, but I said, you know what? I'll watch an episode with you. And I watched one episode, and let me just put it this way. I saw one episode, and I said, I not only have seen enough, I think I've seen too much. So I'll leave it at that.
Wow.
Which episode did you watch?
Not what we do. Not what we do. It's 180 degrees from what we do.
Do you know which episode you watched? Was it the first one?
I believe it was the first one, because they said you got to watch this from the beginning. Yeah. So yeah,
didn't
really
see the
crazy
guy
get
his arm taken.
Jeff, don't ruin it.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert, everyone.
I won't confirm or deny anything on there, but I will just tell you guys, it was like, oh man, it's like Superman and Bizarro Superman. It's like Bizarro World. It's just not what we do. That's the best way I can put it.
Do you think there's a lot of operations like that out there? Because it blew my freaking mind that. Even that there were so many people in the world that even have cats that large, like, around.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, you know, you hit it on the head. I mean, these cats, and, you know, I've worked with big cats, and my colleagues at the zoo have worked with big cats. They are, you know, they fascinated people for millennia, right? They fascinated our species for thousands of years, and there's a reason for that, because they're beautiful, they're powerful, and they can kill you in an instant. And they're not something that you want to hug. They're not something you want to get a photo with. They're just, they are killing machines. It's what they're designed to do in nature. They're really, really good at it. And Mother Nature's done such a good job, I'm going to take her word on it.
Yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. Amen to that.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, that means you should cancel that eBay order for the Tiger you ordered. You shouldn't have it.
No, come on, man. They're only $2,000.
No, that's a terrible idea. You don't need to have a Tiger.
Okay. I have kids. What would I do with a Tiger?
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. But, Jim, but I will tell you guys, you know, in certain states, it is legal to keep venomous reptiles and crocodilians and big cats and bears and other animals and wolves. So, you know, I worked with these animals over the years, and like, you just, you know, family plus, you know, lethal pet does not equal happiness. You know, does not equal safety. So, I just I have strong views on it, and I'm probably getting too opinionated right now.
Definitely not. Get on your soapbox. This is where you do it.
You're an expert.
Yeah,
I'm also an expert now because I'm on this show with you.
That's right.
I also feel accredited.
Yep.
Not by the Beardsley Zoo, but by the School of Jim Knox.
Yep.
You know, I feel educated by you.
I mean, there's schools of Hard Knocks, but then there's schools of Jim Knox, and Jim Knox is the next level up. That's for sure.
Well, Plum, your PR skills are extraordinary. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I don't have to. I want all this down in writing. I'm going to share this with my wife. The moment I get up, I'm going to say, look, Plum and Jeff told me. It's a fact.
Good. Yeah, you should.
We'll have to make stinger buttons for you and send you a soundboard you can put on your phone so you can hit people with it.
That's right. You just play the sound whenever you want. That's it right there. Jim Knox, the Beardsley Zoo, Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo. You got to check it out if you haven't been there yet. Make your way up there as soon as it's open, as soon as it's there. Support your local zoos. Maybe it's not our zoo. Maybe you got a zoo in Utah where you're checking the show out. Support those guys, man, because listen, during this pandemic, we've all talked about hospitality people. We've all talked about the first responder type workers, but there's also other workers out there like the zoos that we have locally, and we got to support those guys, man. They're doing amazing things for us. They keep, they're open. They entertain our children. They keep us all happy when we go there. They take care of animals. We got to make sure we take care of them. Jim, you are the man, brother. I love talking to you, man. Thank you so much for being on tonight. And by the way, the picture I just sent you was, I guess it was probably 2 years ago, is my daughter pulling a snapping turtle out of our brook.
She is a brave young lady, yes. Yeah.
Dude,
well, the apple didn't fall far from the tree, right?
Hey, let me tell you what. I freaked out. I was like, Addie, stop. It's this giant snapping turtle. My daughter pulled it out of the brook. And I was like, stop. You can't grab it. And she's like, no, as long as you're behind this part of the shell, it can't reach you. And I was like, what? And, dude, she was right. She, like, has been researching that stuff. You know, they're crazy.
Yeah, you got to be super careful. So we'll chat. Hey, before I forget, guys, if anybody's interested, next Tuesday night there's a webinar on Frog Watch.
Oh.
All the info is on our website, so
yeah.
You know, so check it out for you and the kids.
100%,
awesome.
That's happening, no doubt about it. Jeff, make it a school thing for your kids. They got to check out the webinar. You guys do it together. Jim,
yeah,
we love talking to
great.
You, man. BeardsleyZoo.org. You got to check it out. Jeff, give his plugs out before we get Jim out of here.
Absolutely. Again, you want to get him JimKnoxSpeaker.com. In a couple days, his Instagram will be back up. It's going to be JimKnoxSpeaker. Then also, of course, the CT Beardsley Zoo at CT Beardsley Zoo and BeardsleyZoo.org. Check out all those places, especially BeardsleyZoo.org. You know, Plum hit on earlier that he had donated to help out. And I think, you know, if you can and you think it's something that you're interested in doing, it seems like a really, really worthy cause to just throw a few bucks their way,
yeah.
Especially right now in this time of need, because it's a crisis and everyone could use a hand.
Hey, so, and the government just sent you money. Throw a few bucks to your zoo. How about that, huh?
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. There's a lot of UMFs out there that didn't need that money.
That's right.
So maybe you should think about the people who really did, because it's time to, you know, it's time
do the
to
right
help
thing.
Out. It's time to help out.
That's right. Jim, thank you so much for your time, my friend. I know it's late, but I appreciate it. And please give my thanks to your wife for all the work that she's doing, man. I look forward to talking to you on down the road, brother.
Will do. So, Chef Plum, Jeff, thank you both so much, guys. Thanks for getting the word out on our behalf. And you guys stay safe, all right?
You're the man, brother. Absolutely. We love you. We'll talk to you on down the road, all right, buddy?
Thanks a lot, brother.
All right, there he goes. Jim Knox, education curator for the Beardsley Zoo. Love that conversation, Jeffy. A lot of fun.
Dude, that was amazing, man. I feel like I learned a lot. I feel sad that I didn't take you up on going up there when we were up there. I you know, before, just because I wish I'd got a chance to meet him before talking to him tonight. He seems like a great guy.
Amazing guy. amazing guy. The zoo, the Beardsley Zoo, I mean, listen, I've been to all the big ones. I've been to the Bronx Zoo. I've been to the San Francisco Zoo. The Beardsley Zoo is my favorite place. I get emotional about it. Like, I give money to them every year because, literally, I felt like they helped me raise my daughters.
That's amazing.
And
well, the fact that you said that they're so kid friendly, and the fact that he said that they're accredited, and I mean, just the attention that they put into the diet, I mean, God, it just blew my mind how you know, it's just so specific, and you know, especially after watching the Tiger King and seeing the Walmart runs from the meat truck, you know, spoiler alert, and man,
yeah, right,
it's crazy. It's crazy. A tiger ate, what did he say, 8,500 pounds of meat?
Yeah, 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 8,500 pounds of tiger
meat. That's a lot of meat.
That's a lot of meat, dude.
That's a lot of meat, man.
Yeah.
Like, damn. Where are you going to get all that meat?
But listen, here's the thing. If you ever go to the zoo and you see Jim or ask for Jim, they'll get him for you. Man, he goes above and beyond for everybody. He'll look after you. He'll show you some cool stuff that you didn't think you'd see in the zoo. We got to feed anteaters when I was there with him last time, Jeffy. Me and the girls fed anteaters out of our hands.
I love that. Yeah, I was scoping some pictures of him on the internet, and he was with some anteaters and a giant giraffe and some other stuff. He seems like he's the man, bro.
That's like all it is.
Gentle giant, you know, totally. Such a cool dude.
100%.
I look forward to when this is all over and I can get up to the Beardsley Zoo and hang out with him, and I bring my family up
there
too.
It's funny because you've been doing all this stuff in Connecticut and talking to these cool Connecticut people, that you might want to move here, huh? You think it's like the best place ever now?
Well, I always tell you that I think that'll be our second house. You know, we'll buy something in Connecticut maybe because it's closer to home for me. My family could come there. We could all hang out there.
It's not a bad place, man. I don't dislike it at all. It's not a bad place. I've grown to love it here. And you know, I'm close to New York City, I'm close to mountains, I'm close to everything, and I'm close to something as cool as the Beardsley Zoo.
Close to our studio, you know, is what I'll have to do. Once we get our studio going, that's when I'll have to, you know,
get a
house close to that, so we, you know, the whole family can come over.
That's it.
We can keep pumping out great content.
So check out thebeardsleyzoo.org. You know, big shout out to our good brother Jim Knox. I got a feeling we'll talk to him again at some point. Jim's a great guy, man. He's easy to talk to. He's such a good talker, and I mean, he'll talk to you about anything. So check out thebeardsleyzoo.org. Check them out on social media. CT's Beardsley Zoo on Instagram. Is that right, Jeffy? Did I say that wrong?
CT Beardsley Zoo. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And it's beardsleyzoo.org if you're going to hit them just on the internet. And then it's jimknoxspeaker.com. And at Jim Knox Speaker is going to be his Instagram. He said it's down right now, but he's going to have it back up in the next couple of days. So definitely check him out on there because you know, I follow him, and he's definitely got a whole bunch of pictures from the past. So I don't know. He's definitely a super interesting guy. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on. So
no doubt about
and
it.
And then what's the talk again?
Tuesday night they're doing the Frog Watch, which is a really cool event, man, here in Connecticut. Frog Watch, and they're doing a seminar on it. You can check it out at 6 o'clock. I think it was 6 o'clock. Let me pull it up on the website here. For the Beardsley Zoo, Jim's going to be a part of it. Frog Watch is awesome. And, hey, listen, you know what I thought was really cool, too, that he threw out there? For everybody, I mean, listen, if you have kids and you're homeschooling your kids right now, dude, and you need a good science lesson or something extra to show them, man, go to beardsleyzoo.org. Check out the education resources they've got there. You can check out the home distance learning stuff they've got. I'm peeking at it right now. Some really great stuff you can check out with your kids. And none of it's super long. You can spend some time learning some great stuff about animals. And, you know, honestly, they spend a lot of time with it. And I don't know. I just think it's awesome. Everything that they do is awesome. It's all so – I've yet to find something that I go, wow, they're trying to make money. That's never happened to me when dealing with the Beardsley Zoo. Everything for years has always been like, wow, they're really doing great stuff here.
Yeah, they are. They look like I was just actually Googling it to see what you were talking about.
Yeah.
They are – they're doing some really, really, really awesome stuff here. I can't wait to show Amber and the girls.
Well, they do a big event called they do a big wine and beer festival at the zoo, and I was supposed to be a part of it this year, so long as it doesn't get thrown back. Yeah, we're supposed to be a part of it.
Oh, man, you know we're coming up for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right up my alley. Wine and beer. and big cats.
Dude, this is going to be dope. So
I know they're not going to let me get in there to take a picture, but I just want to wear tiger print, and I just want to get as close as I can to them without getting killed by one.
Listen, I'm not going to say for sure, but there is a chance that when they had two tiger cubs, I might have gotten really close to them.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying there's a chance it could have happened.
Absolutely.
When they had the tiger cubs, I might have been really close to them. Like, really close.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jim Knox, make sure you check him out. Good brother. We love you, man. Thank you for taking time to hang out with us on the program tonight. Jeffy, this is what I'm talking about. This show has grown to the point where we can get, like, important people from zoos on the program. Like, that's crazy talk. Like, that's just, it wasn't even a question. I sent it out, and they were like, absolutely, we'd love to be on. They said, Plum Love Foods? Yes, we want to be on, which I felt really good about.
That makes me feel great. That makes me feel great. You know, I mean, the fact that people just want to tune in and hang out with us makes me feel great. You know, I do it because I like talking to you, and we have a good time just shooting the shit,
right,
and learning stuff from our guests, and you know, having fun making our jokes along the way.
Yeah,
I think part of it because we're private chefs, we don't get the camaraderie we used to get on the line.
Yeah,
so this is kind of our line time.
Well, hey, listen, I sent you a text to remind me of something when we get off the program tonight. I just want to point out to you the project we're talking about doing this summer, the YouTube channel project we're talking about doing.
Yeah.
How great is it that we have a friend who works at the zoo?
Oh, absolutely.
With tigers.
Absolutely. We're going to have to do all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, that's all we got to say. That's all we're going to say. Jim's texting back right now. He's very happy. Can't thank you enough, brother. He really enjoyed his time on the program, which is awesome. Listen. Yeah, which is so great.
Time with him.
He says, shout out to Jeff, too, is what he said. He's afraid that he hopes he didn't ramble. And I was like, not at all, what? Man. Not at all. He didn't ramble.
That's all I ever do. Pick it up.
Pick it up. You know. Like, whoa. Wait a minute. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. Who saw this coming, Jeffy?
Who saw this coming?
I never would have expected this to happen. Dave, hey, man.
Yo.
What's up, buddy? What are you doing?
Chilling. Good.
Did you check out any of the conversation with good brother Jim Knox from the CT's Beardsley Zoo?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty cool.
What a good brother, right? Actually, you've met Jim before. You met him at so we did this program live, Jeffy, from Ergo Chef with Stretch Rumner. Came down and we did a barbecue episode and did a whole.
You told me about that. Yeah.
Well, Jim came and hung out with us and met Dave there, right, Dave?
Yeah, I remember. I still have his business card in my wallet.
Yeah, he came and hung out for the program, man, and had a great time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I kept trying to give him alcohol, and he was very slow. He didn't want to drink a whole lot. And I was like, well,
it's hard when you're out in public sometimes.
Yeah, I was like, but you have chef friends now. Things are different. And Dave, I think you did too.
What's that?
I think you did too.
What's that?
I tried to give him alcohol.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to give everybody alcohol because, like, everybody was handing it to me. And then I was drinking it but still trying to pass it off because I knew I had to, like, bounce in a little bit.
Oh, well, it was good stuff. Well, Dave, I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I mean, Jeff and I definitely enjoyed it. I was thinking to myself, I hope other people, you know, in our demographic that are checking the program out would enjoy that. So, you know, I hope you enjoyed it.
And yeah, it was good.
I don't give a shit.
What? Who just said that?
I'm just saying, I don't give a shit if somebody listened to it. It was awesome. I had a great time.
Good.
He's a badass. Jim Knox is a bad man. Like in a good way. You know what I mean?
Can you give me one of those, those peglins?
Oh, that weird-ass animal? Yeah, he'll get you one.
Yeah, I want one. I heard they're mean as fuck.
That's all right. You could cheat. He'll tame it for you. Jim's good like that.
No, I don't want it tame.
Oh, you wanted a mean ass fucking weird animal.
Yeah. We'll be friends. It'll only understand me. You know.
But Dave, I've been your friend for years. I still don't understand you.
Yeah, but this peglin will, okay? Because we're on like the same level. It's been around for like hundreds of millions of years, all right? So it like understands everybody.
Do they hatch or are they born?
What's that?
Do they hatch or are they born?
I don't know. I don't know shit about it. But once we meet, that's how I'm going to find out.
He said, I don't know shit about it.
Or about it knows enough about everything else, okay? It'll be fine. It'll like just drop enough, it off in a box. It
knows to put the lotion on its skin.
I don't know, man. Just drop it off in a box, and then I'll let it roam around the apartment, and then we'll get acclimated, and then, you know.
You've been in quarantine too long, my man. This is what I'm saying.
He's
I'm
making
worried
banana
about
bread.
My friends sleeping in their tiny apartments, dealing with shit, having their kids in little apartments. I got a tiny house, but it ain't a fucking city apartment. I got a yard and shit.
Yeah.
I feel bad for my friends. Listen, if you're out there, I just want you to know, man, my heart goes out to you folks. I love you guys. You know, keep your head up, man.
I told Dave he should be sunbathing naked on his patio right now. Fuck him.
Anyway, don't encourage him.
He should do that. That's what's up.
He's out there butt naked singing Mad Skin Pipe.
Yeah,
just
he
like
is.
Playing that shit like a fiddle. It's crazy.
Well, yes, it is. It's almost as if like he's an actor. Like, and he can just go out there and be a celebrity now on his porch and don't give a fuck, right, Jeffy?
He's singing to people. He's like out there yodeling. All sorts of shit.
You said yodeling?
Google it. Dr. Detroit.
Well, Dr. Detroit, listen, let's talk about Detroit for a minute. They're about to riot in Detroit, apparently, if you watch the news. And I called Dave, and he goes, no, that's not rioting. Nothing's burning.
Yeah. I'm just saying that. Don't lie to you. He just doesn't want to say anything on the phone.
Dave, what's happening in your state right now?
I don't know. I quit paying attention to like everything. For like, yeah.
Gave up. Mom lives. Nice move, son.
What's that? My mom will keep me posted.
Her house is on fire. She's not gonna be able to call you, bro.
I call and check on my mom. I don't call and check on Michigan as a whole anymore.
Right. Because you don't care about Michigan. You're a New York guy.
Sorry, that's fair.
Yeah. You're a New York guy. No? Well, here's the thing. You're a New York guy. You've become like a New York famous guy. That's what's happening. At least you're living the dream like that. You got your patio. You've got your
penthouse.
Yeah, penthouse apartment. That's what happens. Listen, Dave has hit the big time, Jeffy. That's what's happened to him. He's hit the big time. I'm pretty sure in the next 3 weeks, Dave won't be on this program anymore, Jeffy.
Dude.
I think so, too.
He's only on the program long enough to start his own program.
You think so?
Dave Love Foods.
Well, listen, here's the thing about Dave. Maybe he doesn't start his own program, but maybe he becomes a co-star on a program. How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine?
That would be amazing. He was a co-star on the program. He co-starred all the time with us.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is a bit of an... There is a little bit of an announcement that I guess we could go ahead and make,
then
Jeffy.
Then he's showing up late to every broadcast. He comes in 10 minutes till the end.
That's true. That's very, very true. He does do that. Well, and there's also been a project that we've been working on for a long time that we haven't let people know about yet, and I think it's probably time to let the cat out of the bag, isn't it? And Dave became the star of the show. He's not the star. It's not about him on the program, but much like Kramer on Seinfeld, he became a star, didn't he, Jeffy?
Well, yeah. I mean, the crowd loved him.
Absolutely.
It was unexpected. You know, we had to really pause. There was a lot of break there whenever he came on stage. It was really...
It threw lines off a little bit.
Funny. It was really funny. Yeah, no, it was oddly funny. It was just him. You know,
here's the thing I don't get. Is somehow, like a professional, when it would happen to Dave, he would start his line back over again, which I was like, wow, that's really professional. How does he know how to do that? And you know what he told me? He said... YouTube. I was like, oh, well, shit. All right. Well, listen.
You know, Dave, he doesn't, and that's the thing. He's not a man of many words.
No.
And it's still like, I was like, you know, I'm trying to drop gold, and Dave would come on and say two words. The crowd would die. I was like, I don't, it was unexpected. That's all I'm going to say.
Completely unexpected. But, listen, why don't we show people what we're talking about? Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, let's show them. It's probably time. Let's show them. All right. Stand by. Here we go. I'm going to show everybody.
I'm excited.
This fall on the CW Network, it's Chef Jeffy and Friends.
Home Cook Idol. It's Anna and Raven.
Nope, that's the wrong one.
That's the wrong one.
Here we go. Coming up, This fall on UP, it's not UPN anymore. This fall on CW Network, 8 p.m. on Fridays, it's Jeffy and Friends.
Jeffy and Friends is taped in front of a live studio audience.
Man, this virus is everywhere.
Seriously, I'm pretty sure I saw a homeless guy selling vaccines on the subway.
I don't think that's real, but we are out of weed.
Damn it.
Hey, Dave.
Damn it, the key to my apartment isn't working anymore.
What? What do you mean?
The key to my apartment. I sold it to this tourist on the street. I told him it was the key to the vaccine.
Jesus, really, Dave?
Wow, that works? How much did you get?
Not nearly enough. Dave asked if he could sleep over my place.
Damn.
Does anyone knock anymore?
Do you have any idea who you sold it to?
Shit, nah.
Well, maybe we could make him a new key. Can't be that expensive.
Nope. He sold his lock last week as an AIDS cure to a guy from Maine.
Plum Love Foods Live, every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio.
It's just remarkable. It's just remarkable. I can't believe how good he did.
Dude. I was, you know, for his first time on stage, he did great.
Dave, how'd it feel, job. Dave? How'd it feel to have the crowd react that way to you?
So that we were doing a TV show?
Oh, my God. Yes. We recorded 10 episodes of that sitcom for the CW.
Oh, my God. All right. You guys are like, hey, show up here, and then there's a room of people. This all makes sense now. Thank you. Yeah, this is
there's a room of people, some cameras. We told you it's for a show. Yeah. Yeah, Dave. Right. Yeah, man.
It's the new sitcom on CW, Jeffy and Friends. You don't remember?
Dr. I do now. It's great, yes. I'm very happy. it explains all the like newfound stardom. Oh, the penthouse apartment. This is right. Okay.
Jesus, Dave. Dude. My favorite is, like, you would just walk on stage and people went nuts. I couldn't believe it. Jeff and I were ready to deliver fire, like, to deliver the lines and try to make laughs. And the door would open and you'd walk on stage. And we're like, oh, I guess we don't have to do that because Dave's here. Remember that, Jeffy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, my, like, almost middle-ages charm. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. Listen.
Maybe.
Hey, big shout out to our friend Jim Knox from Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo joining us tonight. A lot of fun talking to him. Thanks for taking the time and coming on there. Check out beardsleyzoo.org. Donate. Or if not, at the Beardsley Zoo here, donate to your local zoo wherever you live. Because, listen, these guys, they live off of the members and people coming to the zoo and things like that. And they're losing that right now. We got to make sure we take care of them. Because we want the zoos to be here, Jeffy, when we get done with this.
Absolutely, man. Especially the good ones. The ones that are actually taking good care of the animals. And you don't go there and it just looks like a sad fucking thing. Excuse my language. A sad sad animal in a cage. Just like, you know, I hate that.
Yeah, like, it's not good.
You've always described this place as such a cool spot. And like everyone's so vibrant. And they, like, you know, it's just all the animals seem great. And and all the stuff they're doing for education. And the fact that they saved a majority of the animals that they have from you know, that otherwise would have probably died. I think this is
it's a great spot.
Worthy spot to get behind.
Absolutely. No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. Also, don't be afraid to get some takeout out there, you guys. If you're home from work, if you're not working, grab some takeout. Support your local restaurants. They definitely appreciate it. And, just before we sign off tonight, Jeffy, I want to point out our friends over at Food for the Frontlines. Have you followed them at all and seen what they've done so far?
Yeah. they've done. It's the thing is they've done a lot, which is really amazing. Like they've fed a lot of people,
and a ton.
And it's really kind of caught on like wildfire. You know, there's so many places right now being backed by huge, huge spots all over the country, feeding people from restaurants that you know were kind of really popular, amazing restaurants that have turned into giant food kitchens that are, you know, delivering thousands of meals a day. You know, it's really, really amazing. I know 11 Madison Park has something going with our good brother Matt Joswiak and Rethink, and I think American Express has donated a bunch of money to that cause.
Wow, how about that?
You know, and they're feeding. The numbers are staggering. The amount of people that they're feeding and helping, it's really crazy. And also the, you know, the there's so many things I've heard, different companies that have started boxing food and putting it out there so you can buy them and have it delivered to somebody that's in need. There's, you know, you name it. It's really starting to take off, and that's one of the really positive things is to see the human side of everything and everyone kind of becoming like kind of coming together and realizing that we can help somebody. And you know, if you have a little extra and you don't need it, like this is the time to like not to hoard it but to share it, because there's people out there that really, really could use it and that are in a bad way. And it's scary, you know, it's scary not to know what the hell's gonna happen the next day. So I just, like I said, my heart goes out to those people. You know, I grew up like that, I know what that's like. And you know, keep your head up. It's going to get better. We're all going to get through it.
We will, definitely. And a big shout out to our friend Nicole Strait and, of course, good sister who we love very, very, very much, Stephanie Webster from CT Bites. I'm happy to tell everyone that Food for the Frontlines that you heard here on Plum Love Foods First has raised over $100,000 feeding hospital workers and first responders. Dave, how awesome is that?
That's pretty dope.
I mean, Jeff, over $100,000. We talked to them. They were getting $10,000 together. They were happy about that. They're over $100,000 now. They've gotten mainstream media. They've been written up in the New York Times. They've been on Fox News. They've been on CNBC. They've been on Good Morning America. Bro, they're doing some amazing shit and getting the word out there and inspiring people all across the country.
It's insane.
Killing it, right? I was hoping you'd give me. I took a sip of my wine there, and you didn't give me any more. I was hoping for a little more to swallow.
I'm blown away by it. I'm just blown away. I'm blown away that they've raised that much money just on a, like, you know, after speaking to her and how it started with her just being like, holy shit, you know what? We could probably do something. Hey, if anybody wants to do something with me, let's do this.
I didn't talk about how I beat her in Chopped, though. I didn't bring that up. I probably should have.
No, you. I think we talked about it on the show.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah. it's hilarious. You know who else is doing is still doing great, and if people out here on the East End, if anyone's listening, is our good sister Robin Dietrich.
Oh yeah, what's her story right now?
Yeah, and I think there's still 14 days to go in the raffle. You can still enter if you find her. She's you can probably find the raffle off of her her homepage at Robin Dietrich Kitchen. You know,
when we sign off here, I'm going to go to her stuff right now, and I'm going to buy a raffle ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You should get on there. There's a bunch of really great prizes, too.
Well, listen, there's a lot of great stuff going out there. Listen, I know we're in a weird pandemic right now.
At Robin's Kitchen on Instagram.
Sorry, Robin, say it again, Jeffy.
At Robin's Kitchen on Instagram. Robin's _ kitchen.
At Robin's Kitchen on Instagram. We should get her on the program to talk for a few minutes before this is up. Maybe next week. Just have her come on for a few minutes.
Yeah, we definitely should, because she'd probably do way better putting it over than I have so far. Because I'm fucking...
Well, you're not really good at putting stuff over. You're a consummate heel. You don't want to put anybody over. You're like Road Warriors 1984. You're like, fuck you. Dude, I'm not putting you over. I'm going over.
My daughter, I tried to get her to shave that into my head, the Road Warriors, like Bihawk. Yeah. And she didn't do it even. She, like, made it weird on my head. It looked good for a second, the picture, but when I got up and I looked at it in the mirror, I was like, man, it's all messed up.
Hey, listen, not to take it back to wrestling too much, but I do want to say condolences to the Finkel family. Howard Finkel, one of the voices of my childhood, legend. Jeffy. Literally.
Legend. Howard Finkel.
Died today.
In peace. The sad tidings.
Rest in peace, Howard Finkel. The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Announcer for WWE for years. Literally the voice of my childhood. Very, very sad for me to hear that Howard Finkel has passed on. I don't know what the story is. They haven't said if it's COVID or what happened. I don't think his health was very good. The scary part was 69 years old, gentlemen. He wasn't an old guy.
Yeah. No, man. It's listen. It's life isn't promised, you know. Like we always say it. Be grateful for what you got.
Yeah.
Be thankful for what you have in front of you, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Our tomorrows are not guaranteed.
We've all heard the crazy stories. We've all seen crazy shit on the news. We all know somebody who's lives through something that is just like, it's, you know, stranger than friction. And fiction.
Yeah. What happened there? I didn't want to stop you. But... Listen, voice of my childhood, someone who I never got the chance to meet. I would love to have the chance to meet. You know, much like Dusty Rhodes, who I was hoping to have the chance to have on this very podcast, but as I was working the channels, he ended up passing on. Same thing with Howard Finkel. One thing's for sure, Howard Finkel definitely lived a life. He lived life to its fullest. He worked for the WWE. He traveled the world with some of the funnest people on the planet. But still very, very sad to hear it happen. So this one's for you, Fink. The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Now making his way to the ring from New York, Howard the Hammer Finkel. I know it's not the best impression, but rest in peace, Howard Finkel. Very sad for me to hear that happen, man. Rest in peace. You know.
Rest in peace.
There it is. Listen, on the brighter note, we're almost through it, guys. We're 30-some days into this quarantine, 30-some days into this shelter-in-place, whatever the fuck you want to call it. We are still here. We are doing fine, and life will continue. I promise you. It will continue. We will be fine as life moves on. Just stick with it. For the love of God, stay home. Don't help spread the disease. Don't help spread the virus, Jeffy. Just stay home. Dave, what's your biggest advice you can give for everybody right now? Give them some advice.
Stay home.
Fucking unbelievable, Jeffy. Did you hear that? That was some deep shit. Yeah. DDP yoga, quick update. I am 3 weeks deep in the DDP yoga. I am on track. I am working hard at DDP yoga. I am eating well. I'm walking a mile and a half to 2 miles a day and doing DDP yoga. Jeffy, where are you at?
I'm doing DDP yoga every day and working and, you know, getting my steps in for sure. That's where I'm at. Oh, and I've also started intermittent fasting.
Good.
Which has been, I'm eating only between the hours of 1 and 7.
Hey, I want to point out today, too, also on the DDP yoga today, I'm going to text Dallas this. Today was the first day on Fat Burner, the Fat Burner program. Those of you who know what I'm talking about as far as DDP yoga. Jeffy, I did the push-ups today, no knees. I was straight out planking the entire time for all 3 push-ups.
That's funny you say that. I was telling Amber I got in the crocodile today and then did the push-up and then all the way down without getting on my knees this morning. And I was like, look at you, you fat fuck. You still got it.
Nah, that's not fat fuck. That's you building muscle, Jeff. That's you building muscle, Jeffy.
I'm talking. That's how I talk to myself. That's how I get motivated.
You know how DDP says? Listen, you may not be able to do it today, but see him in a couple weeks. You're getting stronger every day. And literally, I live by that mantra, and I feel good about it. Dave, how's DDP yoga going for you?
I restarted it because I missed a few days, so...
Can't miss days. Going? Gotta go.
How's it going since you restarted it?
Yeah, how's it feel?
Pretty good.
All right, good. Well.
And I do that, and then like 100 push-ups a day. So hopefully like
in that's 6 weeks,
that's I'll great.
Notice something. Not all at once. I don't do the 100 push-ups like all at once.
That's fine.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Even if you do 7 to 10 all day long, it's still you're banging them out.
Yeah, the fact it's like 10 an hour.
Yeah.
All right.
The fact that you're doing them is great, and like in a week you'll be able to do 200. You know, it's like,
yeah, you just keep pushing it, right? Just keep pushing it. That's
yeah,
it.
Just add some. You know, every week add like, you know, 20. A month you'll be up to 200. You know, just keep building.
Well, I'm happy to report my Fitbit just told me I hit 10,000 steps for the day because I'm standing right now.
Nice.
There you go.
My steps. I don't reach my steps.
You might.
A lot.
Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you taking the time to check out the program tonight. I want to reiterate one more time. Hang in there. I know you're all, you know, whatever your story is, whether it's a bad story, whether it's a good story, whatever the story is, trust me, I promise you the story will continue. There's so much more to come. We're going to be okay. We're going to be fine. We just got to get through this little bit. And right now, listen, I believe in Jeff and Dave. I don't know how you feel. I feel like we're past the halfway point now. How do you guys feel? Jeff won't admit it.
I'm freaking out a little bit.
Jeffy thinks it's straight up Terminator 2 apocalypse flashback scene from the beginning of the movie. It's not, Jeffy. We're going to be fine, dude.
Not,
it's okay.
Not Terminator 2. It's more like if there were a prequel to like Blade Runner.
Ooh.
Or like what's that other fucked up? Excuse my language again. Jeez, what's that other crazy movie with Katniss there? I always the Hunger Games.
Total Recall.
No, the Hunger Games. Yeah, hold on. Called
Commando.
It's crazy.
It's a good
Commando.
Movie.
What about what's the one? Total Recall is the one where it's a show, right?
Roadhouse.
No.
Blade Runner.
Well, Recall's with Arnold Schwarzenegger, man.
Conan and, the Destroyer.
Yeah, it's like where they're all like, they're being hunted.
It's a good movie.
And then they're like, oh, I gotta run, because this dude's about to kill me, and I got shot down a tube. Inside of a tube.
That's like a good movie. Fifth Element.
An hour.
Jeffy, like Fifth Element.
Mars or something like that. And then
what's
they.
Up?
I'm just yelling out some of my favorite movies. I don't even know what we're talking about right now. Aliens.
Shut up.
Oh, I don't remember.
All right. We've dissolved.
Right. It's back when we had hot Sigourney Weaver.
Dude, well, how dare you? How dare you speak like that about her?
I'm sorry. I know she's 70 years old now.
That's who cares, man. She's sexy to somebody. You can't be like that, man. You can't yuck somebody else's yum, bro. That's not cool.
Don't yuck my yum. My wife tells my kids that.
Yeah, bro.
Listen,
don't be doing that.
I remember watching the first Aliens movie when they first come out of cryostasis as they're traveling.
Then I hate you. Don't
what?
Do that.
What?
Well, no, because I said don't yuck the yum, and then when you said that, and then I was thinking somebody out there is a scumbag, and I was like, you know what?
Oh.
I hate the guy.
I was about to talk about pubic hair, and you went a negative route.
Oh, I'm sorry. The yuck my yum thing caught me off guard because I said it. Knew it. And then I started laughing because I was like, whoa, a lot of people might know that. And then I was like, wait, some weird shit.
Let me tell you what,
there.
1979, Alien, that's the first Alien movie in the entire series. They come out of stasis as they're heading into, I apologize, that's not Alien 1, it's Aliens, the second installment, Aliens, with the Marines, obviously one of the best movies of all freaking time, we all know that.
The Marines, oh my god, I forgot about those guys with the super guns.
What are you talking about? That's one of the best movies of all time. Bill Paxton? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Dude, Bill Paxton? Game over, man! Game over! I guess the best freaking movie ever. However, one of the hottest scenes ever in a movie is in Aliens when they come out of stasis and Ripley, a.k.a. Sigourney Weaver, gets out of the stasis wearing nothing but her underwear, and it looks like someone smushed a spider underneath of them and then covered it up because it is so much just pubic hair coming out the sides of her underwear as she gets out of the stasis machine.
Really?
It's really hot.
The fact that you remember that so vividly, and I bet it was like a 13th of a second.
Bro, look at it's on YouTube, the whole scene where she's like braless and she has like a tank top on.
Like,
it's so hot.
This left an imprint in your mind.
Dude, this has affected me my entire life. Listen, this is a whole other conversation for not this radio program.
This is like, a whole other conversation.
Like, I'm telling you, this is a whole thing for me. Like, it affected me deeply.
You're like a main, huh? You want to, like...
Secretly, you have a blog about it and shit online, well, just about the... Supreme
not on
Weaver
a program where we just had Jim Knox from the Beards of Zoo.
What's your pen name? What's your pen name for the blog?
Listen, everybody...
such a pain name for the block.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, please stay safe, stay healthy, stay home, for God's sakes. And please remember, friends out there, and look after each other. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Give it the time it deserves. Check out that clip on YouTube, power, Aliens. Power, we'll see you next week. Sour, peace.
Funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.